At the tender age of 7, Michael Jackson knew what he wanted: to be rich, famous, and free from his father, Joe.
I can remember a time when we were practicing, and I can't remember exactly what was being said, but Michael's response was, "This group will be nothing without me." Here's a kid, 7 years old, but the ironic part about it is that he probably was correct.
The roots of Michael Jackson's bizarre behavior lie in the shuttered steel mills of Gary, Indiana, and the ambition he shared with his abusive father. In 1967, Joe Jackson wanted to get out of Gary, and 9-year-old Mike wanted to make the beating stop.
Joseph was, you know, chasing him around the room saying, you know, the choreography goes that way. And Joseph would throw his shoe at him or something. And Michael would say, you know, don't, you know, if you ever throw anything at me again, I'll never sing again. Another note. So don't push me.
The combination of Michael's 9-year-old ego and Joe's attacks on his son's self-esteem was explosive. Little Mike quickly became the hardest working kid in show business.
Michael, as a child, would always make one more spin. You know, he would run all the way to the edge of the stage, slide, stop, and just do things that were cutting edge and risky almost.
Even at 5 or 6 years old, he had really been studying Jackie Wilson. He had been studying James Brown.
But not only would he move his feet like James Brown, but he'd keep on moving. And he'd keep on moving. He'd move, and you'd almost have to say, "That's enough, Mike." He wouldn't stop. He just kept dancing.
Joe Jackson stripped Michael of things most kids take for granted. Late-night gigs kept him up on school nights. Rehearsals kept him away from his friends.
And in doing so, he probably restricted some of the things, outside things, that Michael should have been enjoying as a normal boy coming up. This was an ordeal. This is something that most kids just don't do.
He pushed them hard. LaToya would tell us that her brothers had performed either downtown Gary or in Chicago or somewhere the night before, and that they were really tired and they had driven all night.
I mean, we woke up singing, we went to bed singing, we rehearsed all during the day.
Joe Jackson's master plan was to get Mike as much exposure as he could, wherever he could. He booked his boys at seedy bars and strip clubs from Detroit to Chicago.
I don't know how they allowed 5 underage boys to perform in a place that served liquor and had strippers. I thought it was bizarre, but apparently Mr. Jackson was so intent on getting his boys heard, he took any gig that they were offered.
Young Michael's show business education began with an age-old lesson: sex sells.
Michael was performing at a club, and he walked right to the edge of the stage, looked right at a young lady in the audience, and started singing this romantic love song. And this young lady just really didn't know how to take it. Couldn't believe that this voice and these lyrics were coming from the child.
He realized at a very early age that if he really wanted to please adults, you know, you had to sort of appeal to their pure inside.
But for Michael, a devout Jehovah's Witness, a conflict was brewing between doing what his father wanted and what his mother told him was God's will. Sex, ambition, and music were works of the devil, and Mike was wallowing in all three.
Jehovah's Witnesses have put forth many directives when it comes to music. If there's any reference to sex, anything that conflicts with their belief, that opens them up to the Satan.
While the devil's music troubled Michael's soul, it caught the ear of Motown's Berry Gordy. In 1969, the Jacksons traded the gray of Gary for the sunshine of L.A., thrusting 11-year-old Mike on a stage bigger than any he'd been on before.
I would like to find out the difference between Gary, Indiana, and living in Los Angeles. You moved here now?
Yes, well, pretty sunny out here. Like it a little bit better.
Do you dig it?
Yeah, it's cold in Indiana.
Catherine Jackson knew that Michael's music violated Jehovah's law, but once she felt the warmth of Los Angeles, she wanted to get out of Gary as much as her husband, Joe.
When we moved, it was in October, and it was really cold. And Gary and I came here, the sun was shining, birds singing, flowers in bloom, and it was like a paradise.
But along with the fairy tale life came a mandate to tell fairy tales. Catherine stood by while motel marketeers taught her 11-year-old son to lie, beginning with his age.
Was I right? Are you 9 or 10? I've forgotten.
9.
Suddenly, 11-year-old Mike became the most precocious 9-year-old on the planet.
At first, Michael didn't understand that, and then it was explained, well, this is public relations, and it's not a lie if you're talking about your image.
Well...
And this little boy grasped on to that idea that it's okay to tell a lie if it's called public relations.
In 1970, Michael Jackson was lead singer of the hottest bubblegum band in America, and his childhood was officially over.
The older siblings all had normal lives, at least up until the teens, whereas Michael had no childhood.
There's no childhood at all. I mean, it's full-time professional performing.